How great is McCartney in that?
He may not be my favorite Beatle, but damn, the man could write a song.
Oh, hey guys, how's it going? Mike, how's your vacation?
Oh, it was awesome! Nick put me up in the Imperator Suite at Citadel. We're talking full room service, Taco Bell whenever I want, non-radioactive water, and best of all, Nick was able to track down the extended version of that Beatles documentary, Get Back.
Oh, no fooling. How much longer was it than the regular version?
67 hours.
Whoa!
I know, right? And you would not believe the stuff you see in the extended cut. It turns out Paul really did die. They brought him back to life by singing Get Back, and that ends up being the whole meaning behind the song.
No way.
It's wild. Just talking about it makes me want to watch it again. Do we have it in the store?
I think so, but it's only the regular 8-hour version. At least that's what I was told. I got it from a vendor in Bartertown, so it might not be the best picture quality.
Ah, who cares? I just want to watch more Beatles stuff.
Yeah, me too!
Hell yeah, let's do it! Chad, initiate store close protocol. For the next 8 hours, it's gonna be Beatle Mania in here, fellas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah!
Are you sure about this disc, Dave? It has Back in Action written on it in Sharpie.
It's fine. You know how these bootlegs are. Sometimes they get the translation wrong. Worst case scenario, there may be some subtitles in a different language at the bottom. No big deal.
I'm not afraid of any one-inch tall words. Ryan, activate the DVD player.
As you wish, Morton Hoof.
This is gonna be so sweet. I can't wait for you guys to see this.
I'm so pumped right now.
Shh, quiet guys, it's starting.
Don't let me down.
What?
What the fuck?
In the not too distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Somewhere in the dark underworld, there is a plan. A plan to rule mankind. Now, the world's most elite organization must step forward to search the globe for evil, scour the continents for danger, and what they discover will turn the world upside down.
Want a maroon?
Tunes back in action. A rabbit, a duck, a girl, a boy.
You,
him,
her,
them.
And the evil head of the Acme Corporation who's determined to take over the world.
We must capture this son of a spy, and we must locate the diamond and use its powers for our own diabolical ends.
How you like that, Mr. Slap Yourself on Your Own Face?
Dynamite!
Welcome to my world.
Looney Tunes back in action!
Now that's funny.
Exploding into theaters November 14th.
Okay, that was Looney Tunes back in action. I'm your host Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow Daffies. Wait, that doesn't make sense. What are the Looney Tunes referred to as?
The
They're just tunes.
Is there a general term for the, just the Looney Tunes?
Yeah, tunes.
Tunes.
Just tunes. Okay, okay.
Tunes!
I'm joined by my fellow two-dimensional co-stars, Mike.
I can't do a good Porky Pig.
Wow. I thought that was Tasmanian Devil.
Hello.
Ryan.
I love the Luna. I love the Moon and the Tuna. I love the singer. Scott Opla. Or two.
And ruler of the wasteland and fan of cartoons, Morton Hoof. Or as we call him, our good friend, Nick. So this is Looney Tunes Back in Action. This is one of those infamous movies, one of those infamous bombs that I always heard about. You hear all these things like, oh, it kind of like soiled Joe Dante's film career. He never made a movie after this, and it was a huge box office bomb. And my God, that poster. Did you see that poster? What a piece of shit. And here's the thing with this movie. After having just watched it for the first time, I think this may have been a case of, now I'm not saying this is the best movie ever made by any means. I think the marketing for the movie was terrible. I think if they had just called the movie something as simple as Looney Tunes and left off Back in Action is terrible. I don't care what you link that to. Back in Action is something you link to a Looney Tunes direct-to-DVD thing. You don't put it on a major motion picture. It's box office poison. I think it was Back in Action and that poster. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that poster, but it is one of the worst posters I've ever seen. It's one of those goofy posters where everyone's staring right in the camera like, burr! You know, and they got these big stupid grins on their face. It just puts people off. I don't know. Do you guys remember, because this movie came out in our lifetimes. Do you remember, like, when this movie came out, your thoughts on it at the time?
I have no memory of it. Like,
I didn't even know this movie existed until Ryan thought about it.
I knew it existed. I remember, like, my memory of it was it came out, I think, when I was in high school, early high school. So I was right at like peak edgelord time where I'm just like Looney Tunes, psh, kids, and never thought about it. But I severely disagree with your analysis, Dave.
You think it's just a plain bad movie and that's why it failed?
Yes, it is an interesting, like, there's some stuff here for sure. I don't think it's like, you know, it's not like a Southland Tales. Also.
There's some stuff here.
There's like some jokes that land. It has some stuff going. We'll get into it more. But
oh man, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was feverishly writing notes throughout. You know,
yeah, I could barely hear the movie over the sounds of your cackling.
So, like, are you saying, David, that you were surprised by this? Like, were liking it more than you expected?
I mean,
to
reveal my hand a little bit, yeah, I will say that at the very least, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Wow.
Again, not to say I think it's a perfect movie. I didn't know anything about the movie itself going in. I didn't know what it was about. Again, all I knew was that goofy ass poster and Back in Action, which is just a terrible title. I'm sorry. But I'll hold off on my thoughts of what I thought about the movie when we go into more detail in a bit. Like, Ryan, Nick, what are your memories of this movie, if any?
Well, like I was saying, I had honestly never heard of this movie before Ryan brought it up. And I thought when he brought it up that it was just like a 30 minute short or something like that. I didn't even know, I was expecting a full length movie.
Surely direct to video.
Yeah. So, cause I have no idea about anything about this movie before you guys brought it to my attention. So
yeah, I mean, did you, I mean, I guess I'll get into my thing and ask you a question, but I didn't see this in theaters. And I think I was partially probably in edgelord area, like basically, and probably thought the same thing. Like that looks like trash. And, didn't know it was Joe Dante. I probably didn't even
too
really
busy
know.
Seeing Matrix Resurrection.
I was probably too busy waiting for Matrix because the same year, right, is like Reloaded
2003.
And I was all on that, you know, all just consuming Matrix at that.
Which
time.
Return of the King, Matrix Resurrection.
Fuck yeah, I was like, no, Return. I don't get no shit about Return.
Oh wow, I'm losing like you on Return. Okay,
no, I'm kidding. I like it. I just say like I was Matrix, you know. But no, I
Donnie
didn't really
Darko.
Care.
Yeah.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko.
Was that the same year?
No, it was a couple years before that.
Okay.
It was probably around this time where I was consuming it probably like every weekend, though, you know? But I didn't know anything really about it. I thought it looked bad. I probably didn't piece together it was Joe Dante until years later. I think he was on...
We should say, like, I feel like Joe Dante's not... A given. Like, everyone knows what he's done.
Yeah, but we've covered him, like, most of his movies on this show, I feel.
Well, it's always someone's first podcast.
Yeah, sure. So Joe Dante, director of Gremlins, you know, Gremlins 2, which we've covered, Small Soldiers that we've covered, The Burbs, Explorers.
I'd like to point out, we actually haven't done an episode on Gremlins 2.
Oh, I thought we did.
We've talked about it a lot.
Well, really?
I thought we did an actual episode. No.
We should. Oh, the movie's amazing.
When did we watch it? I feel like I watched it with you guys like recent. That's so weird.
I mean, we might have watched it and not done a podcast.
I probably dreamed about it that we did it. But
dreamed the whole episode.
That's why I kind of wanted to do this. I feel like I was thinking, I was like, oh, Gremlins 2, like, this is like an interesting thing to go off of with it. Because
maybe
we
talked a lot about Gremlins 2 in the Small Soldiers episode.
That's probably it. And I think because this is probably like it's his go at doing another sort of, you know, Looney Tunes movie, which Gremlins 2 is basically. But yeah, and so I don't think I knew he directed it until he was on, I think, WTF, Marc Maron, I think. Does that sound right, David?
Yeah.
I think he was on that. And he mentioned that he did that, and he...
And it broke him.
And it broke, and that was basically like Maron's thing. Like, why haven't you made a movie? And he talked about like this movie killing him, basically.
Did he mention in that like... anything with the production of the movie itself killed him, or that it was just the box office?
Oh, no, like the production. Like, and it's like he.
So even if it had done like okay, he probably still would have been a broken man.
Well, he says a couple things. Like, he says, like, there's a quote, I don't know the word by word, but it's something like, it seemed like it was like the longest year and a half of his life. And he said that, like, every time he, like, they went to shoot or something, like, basically the movie has a different beginning, middle, and an end than he originally planned. They kept changing jokes when it's animation, and you can't do that, you know? Like, and he says, like, and then his last thing is the movie didn't do well because by the time it came out, the Looney Tunes had basically kind of fell out of, like, reruns, you know? Like, by the time, like, if you think about 2003, Cartoon Network for the whole 90s was just all Looney Tunes, basically.
This is Adult Swim era now.
We're now at a point where, you know, SpongeBob has come around. Yeah. And on Cartoon Network now has their own shows. You know, we have Powerpuff Girls and Dexter, like all their own, like,
it
things.
It feels like a studio, not like sequel, but just like Space Jam did well, let's make another one.
Well,
and
it is.
But it's like 5 years too late.
More things I want to talk about. So they were, after Space Jam was huge. And were you guys all big on Space Jam?
I'll say that's definitely like one of the movies I've rewatched as an adult and been like, oh no.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up.
I should have kept my fond memories. But I did at the time. I loved the Monstars.
I have the VHS with the special medallion, and I used to have all the, I forget which fast food, if it was McDonald's or whatever, but they came out with all the Monstars and I got them.
Oh yeah, I definitely remember that.
Yeah. Like, it was a big, like, I remember going with that to my dad and my brother, being excited about that. Like, it was a big thing. And yeah, you're right. The movie doesn't, what makes Space Jam still kind of funny is basically like Bill Murray and like Wayne Knight and stuff in it.
I think it's watchable.
It's only 70 minutes long. It's like the shortest movie.
I think it gets by, like, the saving grace is just like the absurdity of Michael Jordan interacting with Bugs Bunny. Like, that is interesting enough that, like, it saves it from being like,
total trash.
Yeah. It's just trash. It's not like trash that's been peed on and sitting in the sun for a while.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, corporate synergy, that thing. Like, all back in this time, like, all the Looney Tunes were all over like shirts and like kind of like not gangster, but they were in like, cool gear with sunglasses and they're like baggy pants. Like,
Tweety Bird.
Like, yeah. Like, that was huge. And so by the time, like, and so there's nothing Joe Dante says, by 2003, it's like, this is movie's kind of made for, like, probably even the littler kids in Space Jam in a weird
way. The movie feels not only is that an idea that feels like it's from the 90s, the movie so much feels like a 90s movie.
Well, this is what's crazy is that they tried to make Space Jam sequels. They were trying to do Space Jam 2 with Michael Jordan and couldn't get him to do it. Like, they were just like giving him all this money. He wouldn't do it. So then they tried doing Race Jam with Jeff Gordon. And so
Race Jam.
So I'm
how do you call it jam? Isn't jam like a basketball thing? Like
it is,
NBA
that,
jam?
That's what's so weird about it. Is like it's like
Race Jam.
And the thing is oh, and then they were and sort of, that was one idea. And
that's like a Simpsons joke.
And a lot of these things I feel like end up in this movie. So another thing which makes somewhat sense is Skate Jam, which would have been Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk? Oh, yeah. That would have been cool. Oh.
That would have made more sense at this time.
I would have watched that for sure.
And then the last one, which I feel like this has a lot of leftovers from, it was I think the one that went the farthest was Spy Jam with Jackie Chan.
Spy Jam? Why do they keep him this jam?
I don't know. They don't know why they didn't just keep
the spy bits in this movie too. Yeah, it seems like this is an amalgamation of all the different drafts that they came up. All the
oh my god!
Jams.
Like there are two. I this is as good as time as any. This movie's a clusterfuck. My big
it's a Looney Tunes.
Cartoon. I'll say like my big two problems with the movie like overall. One, I don't think they like. Get the characters of the Looney Tunes right.
See, that's something else I want to talk about a little bit too.
Well, let's get into that. But the second one is more to this point that this movie, like, it just keeps like fucking adding on to the plot and like what's going on, and it's like, this doesn't need to be as convoluted as Matrix Reloaded just because it's 2003. You know, like it starts out with like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck are like, it's like the Roger Rabbit thing, right? Where like the Looney Tunes are actors and they're on the set and Daffy Duck is going to be fired. And like Bugs Bunny's kind of like trying to help him get his job back. Like that's it. That's the movie.
That's a good movie. Yeah.
That's a good movie. And there's like an arc there. You can talk about Hollywood, kind of make like another Roger Rabbit type thing, but maybe.
Yeah, I was writing in my notes like, is this the Roger Rabbit sequel we never got?
And that would have been cool, but then it's like, oh no, wait
Roger
a minute.
Rabbit's
there's
about,
like
though,
a security guard who's the son of a movie mogul, and he's involved with a spy network to find something called the Blue Monkey, which is owned by the Acme Corporation, run by
Steve.
The most cringeworthy Steve Martin performance in history. And but then there's also like there's layers beyond. That's like the first
I like
15
what
minutes.
You're explaining the plot to people that might have not seen it.
Yeah, but
well, the Blue
so
Monkey is a device that the Acme Corporation wants to get their hands on. So the idea is that they can turn people into monkeys temporarily, so that for a portion of the day they can do like slave labor to make Acme products. But then the Blue Monkey reverses it, so they become humans, but they forget what happened, so then they buy the products they just made.
I swear to God. That
sounds kind of great, actually, what you just said.
It's insane. This movie is like, you can't.
It could be great, but like, it's not. It's not like the funny, ridiculous lean into just total absurdity that could be. It's more just like exhausting, and
there's too many jams.
Not too enough tunes.
Too many jams in this jam.
Too many jams. There's too many jams, not enough space. Too much back in action, and not enough tunes. Like there is so much not tunes happening on this that I don't care about.
I totally agree with you by the end of the movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's exhausting by the end.
It's exhausting. However, for the first half of this movie, I'll be completely honest, you guys. I'm not being cynical. I'm not being sarcastic.
I pooped my pants.
I was 100% on board with this movie for the first half. Literally the first half.
What was the turning point?
I think so too. The turning point was in Las Vegas when they meet Joan Cusack, and suddenly it's like alien references. I'm just like, okay, guys, hold on.
You didn't like all like the old robots from like
it was fine, but like it's like the movie. It's like now we want to be this kind of movie. It's like you were already a Roger Rabbit movie. You were already a spy movie. You were already a road trip movie. You got too many movies going on.
It turns into like Family Guy.
See, this is all what I feel about with the Sonic movie. Like similar things of just being this like convoluted, like
that's bad news.
Like
Sonic
so,
movie is not that convoluted.
You know, but it's just like it's like too much just shit in the soup. Like, I don't know. Like
too many jams.
Just too much
it's
stuff.
It's just a road trip movie.
No, there's
can
just...
we just can we coin that phrase now? Too many jams.
There's not too many jams. I'm let it known. I don't think there's too many jams in the Sonic movie. There's an appropriate amount of jam.
Like, I don't know. There's like it's yeah, I'm with David. I think that there's some good moments, and it is weird. It is like it just go starts like the movie.
I don't think they get the characters of the toons right though. Like,
oh, yeah, that's something I want to mention.
Some of the comedy lands for sure. Like, it's not the toon stuff is the best part, and there's some bits that are good. There was a couple moments I laughed out loud, but
I was laughing
one thing like
stop. All my notes
what the
in
fuck
the first
did they
half
do
are jokes.
What the fuck did they do to Daffy Duck? Like, I had to go back and rewatch like Looney Tunes to remind myself like I'm not crazy.
What the fuck
after
they
this,
do the duck?
Which are great and they hold up, but like they basically turned Daffy Duck into like an incel like in this movie. Like,
they can't even say that in the beginning. Like,
yeah, he's like sexually harassing people and like he's all bitter and like angry and they make a joke about like, oh yeah, you're only popular with basement dwellers. And, like, that wasn't Daffy Duck's, like, thing. Daffy Duck's thing is he was, like, a coked-up duck. Like, he was just, like,
there's different
nuts.
There's different eras of the duck, you know?
I guess, but it didn't, like, I didn't enjoy,
well,
like, that
this is,
version
this is
of
something
Daffy
you're,
Duck.
It's funny you're saying that, because, so, after Space Jam came out, Chuck Jones said he didn't, and a lot of, like, the original voice people, because they got a lot of, like Billy West didn't do any like Bugs Bunny until Space Jam and some other things like that. And
was Mel Blanc alive during Space Jam?
He couldn't have been.
I don't.
Right?
He might have been like super old, but this is like Chuck Jones. I'm talking about like the
the animator for
main force, you know, behind the whole thing.
Bugs Bunny and Daffy.
He said like that he and I was reminded of this of how much you know, Joe Dante likes Chuck Jones at, and I've never seen Explorers, but I saw someone pointed out that the junior high in that is called Charles Jones Junior High and stuff. Like, he's been trying to do, he's like loves this, you know. He went on this and like, this is gonna be the best thing ever. I'm finally doing a Looney Tunes thing, and it crushed him.
Which totally, I could totally see that based on the movies we've seen.
Yeah, and then he said that Chuck Jones he thought the characters in Space Jam were not like. Right, like he thought that they got the Looney Tunes wrong in that, and so like it was almost like Joe Dante's goal to be like, I'm gonna do it right this time, you know, kind of thing. And I think, I don't know, I mean, there's maybe some points, and maybe this is part of the studio manipulation or something. Like, I think that they were like Space Jam has, and this is what I was thinking about, I was like, what does he mean by that I'm not getting it. And you're thinking, like, in Space Jam, there's, like, a Pulp Fiction reference. And then I was thinking, like, is there references like that in this? And I'm like, oh, there's that whole Psycho thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so there's, I don't know. I think that is sort of what they're referring to, you know, maybe. But I don't know. That was one of the things he was trying to do. So there was just interesting stuff, I thought, with this movie leading up to it, is that it just was.
I'll say a joke I really like, because I feel like I'm being too negative. they're towards the end of the movie, they're in space. And they're like flying in a, our heroes, I think it's Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, are flying in a, best of us with the Toons. So they're in a spaceship, and Marvin the Martian's next to him in another spaceship. He's like the bad guy. And they like look over at him and they like do the like roll your window down motion and like you used to do in Cars.
Yeah.
And Marvin the Martian like looks over and he like, okay, he rolls his window down, and then because he's in space, he just like gets sucked out of the window and like flies
away.
That's
pretty good.
I thought that was a good bit. I laughed out loud.
All my notes, almost all of my notes are just jokes that made me laugh out loud.
What's the joke that made you laugh out loud?
Jokes with Brendan Fraser though, because I think
was it the one where Steve Martin was like sexually harassing his employees?
We'll get to Steve Martin.
Yeah. And what is your name?
Mary.
Well, Mary, how'd you like to do a little kissing later? Yeah, that's what they all say at first.
Well, I just, there was one joke, like, honestly, like, the first half, I was 100% on board. I'm like, this feels like, I know, Mike, you're going to probably jump down my throat for what I'm about to say. But the first half of this movie, I thought, I'm like, this almost felt like a spiritual sequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, the humor is very similar. It has that meta quality. It almost has like
I'll grant you the first, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. But it has that sort of quality. It's like they're performers, you know, in this world, and they coexist. It has.
I like that. Rabbit Muppets. It's a good. Yeah, I like it's that, a that good quality. Like setup and idea for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. They should have stuck with that. But there's a joke in the. I mean, there's so many that stood out to me. But I guess I was just shocked by how many jokes landed for me because. And I think I'm a little more forgiving for the movie overall because it is essentially just a Looney Tunes wacky. The whole point of it is it's wacky and off the wall. But one that stood out to me I thought was really funny was when they're talking about Jenna Elfman. She's an executive at Warner Brothers.
Kate Houghton, Vice President, Comedy.
Right.
Kate did Lethal Weapon, babies. Finally, a lethal weapon that can take my grandchildren.
And there's also like the sight gags.
That was a good.
Really
that
good.
Was a good bit. I remember
lethal
that.
Lethal Weapon, babies.
Yeah,
the
Lethal
sight
Weapon,
gags
babies.
Are so good. Like stuff in the back. There's so many things in the background to notice. Like for instance, there's two parking spots at the studio that says Warner Brother 1. Warner Brother 2. Like, I thought that was funny. And
that was.
Like,
that was.
I really appreciate I like the Scooby-Doo cameo with Matthew Lillard. I thought that was, like, a real Roger Rabbit type.
That was funny.
What were they... I remember that. What was the joke there? Were they, like...
Well, they were saying that the live actor made him look like a doof. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it
and
was
Shaggy
the...
was upset because he's, you know, he wants...
Yeah, and he's like,
get
you better
man.
Get it right in the sequel. And he's just...
I'm gonna get you, man.
What kind of performance do you call that? You made me sound like a total space cadet, man.
I'm sorry if you're the way. I was trying to be real to your character.
If you like goof on me in the sequel, I'm coming after you.
Yeah, and I'll give you a Scooby smile.
That was
great. You don't like that?
No.
What?
Like,
why not?
I can't remember if it was... I can't remember who it was, if it was Marvin the Martian or somebody, Sam, but someone's like, well, as it turns out, I'm secretly evil. like, there was a lot of some of the humor in here got me thinking, like, and I know we say this a lot with cartoons, but, like, I gotta imagine The Simpsons took a lot of its, like, humor from stuff like Looney Tunes. Like,
yeah.
There are some good sight gags, like, in the Las Vegas chase scene when Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck are in the back. They're about to crash into the wall, and they, like, exchange wills. That is funny.
That's good.
There's even a simple line at the end with Brendan Fraser, and I can't remember. Someone's trying to make a deal with him, and he goes, "No, forget that. You're evil." It's just like simple lines like that just make me laugh, especially like the monkey handcuffs. There's a point when like they turn Steve Martin spoiler into a monkey at the end.
Spoilers for Looney Tunes Back in Action.
And they pull out these tiny little monkey handcuffs and they put it on him. Like to me, that's the kind of stuff that's funny. I don't know. Like the gags of this movie worked even after the second half when I think they throw in more jams.
Too many jams.
Yeah. Too many jams.
Too many
jams in the kitchen.
The story falls apart. It was crazy. Like it was. I checked the time. It was literally the exact halfway point of the runtime where it turns into like sci-fi gags, and suddenly they go too far in the spy stuff. It should like.
There's like a moment where they like zoom in on a map and they're in the jungle.
Oh yeah, that's.
And I was
yeah,
like,
I'm like,
oh,
what is
Jesus,
going on?
What are we doing here?
Like, I think it would have been fine if, because again, like I said, I'm more forgiving of this since it's Looney Tunes. It's supposed to be wacky, but I think it would have been fine if they stuck with the, if they kept the spy thing contained inside the road trip aspect, like in Vegas and stuff. Like, if it had been more like a road trip movie, I would have been a little more accepting of it. But they just go too far. Literally the second half.
What?
But. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
I was gonna say Nick was actually, I saw kept trying to say something about like Brendan Fraser and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, I mean, I think that Mike said it a while ago, but he was talking about he liked some of the tunes, but there wasn't a lot of the tunes or enough of the tunes, and I think I agree with that because like the Brendan Fraser's and the live action stuff is the stuff that really like is the glue holding together the funny bits, and so it's almost like. It does result in like this exhausting thing aside from just the plot, which is just bananas.
The jam, if you will.
Yeah. So I think that the film has a couple funny bits in it, like some that you guys have talked about. But like I said, there's this glue that holds all together, and the glue is just kind of grating for me. Like the,
it's yeah. I was thinking about it too, because it's sort of like you were mentioning the Muppets, David, and like. And I think
bring it back to the Muppets.
Say there's like you know, Roger Rabbit does have you know Bob Hoskins right or not Bob it's Bob Hoskins right
yeah.
He's sort of like he's like the only real like straight like human man. Character in the movie. I mean, there's a lot of human characters, but he's really the only like other guy that's like in the whole movie. really.
There's him and like Christopher Lloyd.
Well, also he's a good foil. Yeah. He's the opposite of Roger Rabbit, and I think I know what you're getting at. Like in this movie, they're basically like it's too similar. Brendan Fraser's too wacky. He's not.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's part of something. And then like like the Muppets, for instance, like. All the humans are just like the Muppets are the stars of the movie. Like Kermit is like the guy or usually in the movie or Gonzo, whoever's the story, you know, about. And it's like the humans are cameos. And then this is kind of the opposite. If you think about it, it's almost like the toons are the cameos compared to the humans, which is a weird, is that maybe like a expense thing? You know, a budget thing maybe? I don't know. Like
I feel like the impression I got was the movie really was banking on Brendan Fraser's face. Like, for some reason,
his face is everywhere.
Well, his
I thought he was good in it. Like just have it be him.
I don't know. I don't agree with him in general. I mean, there were a couple of moments maybe, but for some reason, like I felt like the movie was trying to be his movie. But that's what to go back to what Ryan is saying. Like it should be the Toons movie, and I mean, we do get Daffy and Bugs quite a bit, but it still feels like they're. They're partners with Brendan Fraser as opposed to him being their partner.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's fucking Michael Jordan. He's no actor, really. But, like, they really, it is kind of split with them a little bit in that movie. And and also, he's just like a presence, Michael Jordan, you know? Like, there's something about him. And
another thing, too, is Michael Jordan, like, that was, I don't know.
The most famous person in the world, basically.
And it's about his sport. So it's like, it has this kind of clout to it. Whereas,
It's just interesting. There's like a novelty, like look at it of like Michael Jordan interacting with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So the conceit is, I think you're right, is sort of something wrong with it somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I like Brendan Fraser though too. That's the thing. Is like I like him. You know.
I mean, I thought he was okay. I do think the plot around him was like too much, but he of all the people, he was like by far I thought the best.
Yeah, Jenna Elfman. Yeah, was one I was like, I'm wondering. I mean, I guess her show was popular at the time, right? It was what was her show that she was on that was really pop famous?
Yeah, big old question. Mark.
Dharma and Greg was the big show,
right?
Not Will and Grace.
I was thinking Will and Grace in my head, but
that's very much like the mom. Can we have Will and Grace? Like we have Will and Grace at home. It's Dharma and Greg.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, we're talking about Brendan Fraser, and we were doing the Taz in the beginning, or Michael was doing Taz. Basic, you know.
Nick did Taz.
I did Taz, but you did Taz.
I was just making a joke that you were doing.
I was trying to do Porky Pig, and it turned into Taz. I'm no Mel Blanc.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser did Taz's voice in this.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think he was. The thing is, I think he seems tired, and I think it's one thing is he was just working nonstop for the years before this. And
he had injured himself on one of the Mummy movies.
On Mummy
too.
Right?
He famously did all of his or most of his stunts, which is like a funny thing
that
they definitely talk about in this movie. That he's the stunt double for Brendan Fraser, but he is Brendan Fraser.
Who's like this pompous guy asshole, basically.
Yeah, but like Brendan Fraser, he's like a. He was basically like chewed up and spit out by Hollywood. Like he's he is a sad
casualty,
tale of,
for sure.
Not sad tale, but he's like a, you know, he was not treated well by the Hollywood machine for sure.
Yeah, the machine just yoked him for everything he had in him. But he's
There's stories of like the stuff he would do for like stunts and like trying to get jobs and like.
Well, yeah, he's come out about it that he had like. There was some sexual abuse and stuff.
Yeah, he was like sexually assaulted by like a studio head and
all this.
Which
kind of
this movie, like, it's weird. It's crazy. Like, one of the things that's interesting about this movie, like, kind of darkly interesting, is because it is so much about Hollywood and like kind of meta, and you definitely see like how this. Culture would like let a Harvey Weinstein just like exist.
Well, they I feel like it's now in hindsight he's stabbing it a little bit though. Like I think he's like like I think just like Steve Martin like leaning over that girl, it's like have a little kissy later or something like that. I think it's almost like
I don't know if that was you might be right and I'm not like I don't want to like criticize Joe Dante's character, because who even knows if he made those jokes, but like I wonder if that's how we read it now, and if at the time it was like, ha, that's silly. I mean, but maybe it was. I don't know. It's tough to say.
They kind of make a joke. This is why I think it's somewhat maybe stabbing it a little bit.
Yeah.
There's that joke where it's in the same scene with Matthew Lillard with Scooby and stuff. And she's like, Jenna Elfman's character to Bugs is like, we'll get you a female love interest. And Bugs like, I'm usually my own female love interest. And then she was like, that was funny back in the day, whatever. But now it's just creepy and stuff like that. Like, it just sort of... like, I don't know, just like things like that. Like, there's a little bit of the meta joke. They make a PC joke with Porky and Speedy Gonzalez. Right. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. At first, they told me to lose the stutter. Now they told me I'm not funny. It's a pain in the butt being politically correct.
You're telling me.
I've listened to Joe Dante's podcast, The Movies That Made Us, and he doesn't strike me as the type of guy that... it was cool with the various seedy goings on in Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. But I think we're overlooking something huge in this movie.
Oh, here we go.
And I can't believe it has.
Great. We're dancing around it.
We're so far into the episode and it hasn't been brought up. So Nick, will you take out your key? I'll take out my key. I believe you and I both have the same note in our notes with exclamation points. Let's turn it at the same time. Are you ready? You know where I'm going with this, right?
Ryan and I are backing away.
No, I know.
I think Ryan and Dave know. I don't think I don't.
You don't? Okay, I'll just tell you. Take out your Cult of Dalton key.
Oh, yeah.
We'll turn it at the same Dalton. Time.
That to be you can't see it, but Dalton I have it powers. Real in capital letters. Yeah. Dalton.
Dalton! When he shows up in this movie as a spy, I'm like, I don't care. And this was pretty soon in the movie, like within the first 10, 15 minutes. I was like, I don't care what this movie does for the remaining like hour and a half or whatever. This movie's okay by me. It's got Timothy Dalton not only just in the movie, but as a spy. And I'm down. I don't care what this movie does. I'm down. And here's the thing. This came out in 2003. He had not played 007 since 1989. And damn it, if he didn't look pretty good for 2003. Is it just me? I thought Timothy Dalton looked pretty good.
Yeah, how old is he in real life at the time he made that Looney Tunes? Because how old was he when he made Bond? And for the listeners, I think the reason that Dave was hinting that towards me is because Dalton is my favorite Bond. And
yes.
I've famously coined myself as a member of the Cult of Dalton. So, but you're right.
I think he would have been in maybe his just about 60, maybe his late 50s. Which again, like you figure, like Daniel Craig, like he left Bond in his 50s. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Timothy Dalton, if in an alternate timeline, if he had kept playing Bond, he could have still. Or he like in some alternate timeline, maybe he just wrapped being Bond like a few years earlier to this or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think he still looks good.
That's almost like the idea they're doing. Like, I bet Joe Dante is probably the Cult of Dalton as well. And he was just like, I would have loved him if he kept going for another 20, 10 years instead of Pierce Brosnan. Because you see all the posters and there's like 10 of them, like 10 Bond posters on the wall, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was fun to see him return.
The fake Bond posters were funny. Well, what were they like? I was trying to remember. That was a very Simpsons like sight gag thing. I'm trying to remember like what the. I think one was like you only die twice or something.
I think it might have been one like more is not enough.
More is not enough. Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh man. There was a good, honestly, like, I think that would be like a cool, like, gift or something, like, to have one of those fake Timothy Dalton posters or something, like, that'd be a fun gift, I think.
Yeah, I think, I want to say, because I know that, so, I mean, Dave was really on board with it, and the audience doesn't know that, like, I'm not so keen on it as a whole, but I think coming to this movie, I just wasn't prepared for what I was going to get, like, it was just... Like even Mike explaining the plot, I'm just like, there's like birds flying around my head. It's like, I'm just not ready for it. And I had been watching these serious movies like the day before. And so I was watching this, and for the first 10 minutes.
It was like Whiplash, right?
Yeah, exactly. For the first 10 minutes, I'm like, what kind of world produces a movie like this? And then
just
like,
what I was just got back from watching Art.
Yeah, I'm used to like these 5 minute shots where nothing happens, and then this thing's got the shots are like, you know, 5 seconds each.
It's probably like when like they were saying that SpongeBob gives kids ADD or whatever, you know, like just.
But I will say that there was a lot of fun things in the movie, actually, in retrospect, like a lot of the jokes. I think that the Toon joke, I really liked when they were at the museum and they were going into the art. And then
it was fun.
Yeah, it's funny too, because the funniest part is when they're in this, if I remember correctly, the Salvador Dali one, and they're going to all melting, like surrealism and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it reminded me of, it's like, it was really ahead of the time for like what they did in Inside Out. When they do kind of art abstraction visualization thing. And so I was like, damn, that's really cool. So that was a really great moment too.
I really enjoyed the Vegas stuff. Like, again, like they could have, they had enough in this movie for three movies. Like, I thought the Vegas stuff was fun and really, like, I like the idea. Is the character Yosemite Sam?
Or he's the like, owner of the
rock
casino.
Rock and roll. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I thought that was perfect.
Yosemite Sam. Yeah.
Yeah, and just he has that. Mike's just like, I don't know, Dave. I can.
I'm flashing back to the live action like Yosemite Sam costumes, and then we just got a whole scene of
Heather Locklear, as like a spy or something. But I just thought, I don't know, I thought that whole sequence of the chase scene in Vegas was done well. And speaking of Bond, like, there were a lot of like Bond little connections in this movie, like not only Vegas, Diamonds Are Forever, but there was one of the vice presidents, one of the many vice presidents in Acme Corporation. One of those guys was in Diamonds Are Forever. He's the guy that throws that girl out the window into the pool and says like, I didn't know there was a pool down there. And he's also the guy who gets killed in the beginning of The Man with the Golden Gun. So there's a lot. And also, I couldn't believe this. Like, it's funny. We were talking about cameos. There's obviously a lot of big time cameos, but there's also a little small character actors in this movie. Like, first of all, it's a Joe Dante movie, so you got to call out Dick Miller. He's the main security guard in the beginning. He's also the guy in the Terminator who sells him the guns and gets blown away. He's in Chopping Mall. He's the janitor that gets shocked. But there's also a lot of other people. One of the other vice presidents at that at the Acme table is Vernon Wells, who is the main thug bad guy in The Road Warrior, the one with the mohawk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's the guy that turns into a skeleton.
Well, no, that was
that's Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman's there.
That was a good bit.
He turned into a skeleton. That was fun. Also,
I like that he's great. You never get to see him do like a cartoony voice. So he was kind of doing like
that
a thing.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And one of the other guys, George Murdoch, who I think we've talked about on the show before, he was the voice of God in Star Trek V. And he was also, wait for it, Boss Bigus. In Batman episode, the animated series, where he's like, you're
oh, the guy who's like
roast.
Eating like a full entire turkey.
Well,
that guy was in it.
Yeah, Robert Picardo was sitting there too.
Robert Picardo.
I'm surprised you haven't brought this one up, but this is back on the studio a lot. But who's directing a new Batman movie? But Roger Corman himself,
the guy
that's brought up all these directors. You know, he put them in the movie.
Those were the fun cameos. Those I really enjoyed.
And in a movie today, it would be fucking, I don't know, LeBron and shit, you know?
It'd be Kanye or something like that.
No, not Kanye. That would maybe like 15 years ago.
It would not be Kanye West.
Eventually, we need to talk about Space Jam 2 a little bit, because this movie is 100% better than Space Jam 2.
I mean, should we just watch Space Jam 2?
No,
at some point?
I can't watch it again.
Well, so I'm kind of talking about the stuff I liked.
Yeah.
Ryan, Nick, it seemed like you guys are the two of are the four of us that were the most down on this movie.
Me?
Was there anything? You didn't really care for it either, Ryan?
No. I like it. I mean, I think I agree with these guys. It's like.
Did I say Ryan?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to say Mike and Nick.
I agree with everything they're saying, of course.
I think
but
Nick
I
might be more down than I am.
Well, that's what I was trying to say earlier, is that I I know that if you're just basing it on what I rated on Letterboxd, then yeah, you will think it's like I just hated
one star.
It.
But, point that out.
But I like I told Ryan briefly. We chatted just briefly. Yeah.
I was like, it's at least two. It's at least two.
It's a good one star because
it's a good one star.
Okay, because cool. Like it's just like I said, it was partly my own thing, my own problem because I was just not ready for this type of movie. But yeah, and then the other, I mean, this is just such a balls to the walls crazy movie that I think that it can't keep up with itself almost. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
And
I just got done watching the latest Bergman film, and then I started watching this. Needless to say, it was a bit of a whiplash effect.
Yeah, I mean, all those colors.
He did just see Bergman Island, so.
Oh yeah,
you're not too far off.
Yeah, but I mean, the day to be clear, the day before I had watched Drive My Car, which is a 3 hour Japanese film, and so that. There's a cinematic whiplash in tones, and so, but also, like I was saying, it's just like there are a lot of funny things, but I think the movie is kind of funny, not funny, funny, not funny, and it's just very like a bunch of speed bumps in the way, and so, but that's not to say that the movie is like I was thinking about this today, like you have something like The Room, which is like a cult classic bad movie, but. Like I would rather watch this again than The Room, and so I think
better than The Room.
But it's like I would rather watch this with you guys than The Room. I don't know if
you can. There's like you can find like the hidden, you know, gems every once in a while.
Yeah, there's still good things, and maybe the one is a little too harsh, but I mean, it's.
No,
I think
I'm not mad about it.
I'm not mad about that either. I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, I would give it 2 stars.
Yeah,
that sounds fair.
Damn, that's magnanimous of you, Mike.
I would probably, if I was, yeah, I mean, it's tough to even give it like a middle, it's not quite a 3-star masterpiece like Southland Tales. It's more of like it's below that, I think, for me. You know?
I was being coy with my rating before we started recording because you guys were all like 1, 2.5, you know, I honestly, if this movie was two, Dave, not two and a half.
But let me say real quick that on if you go to Letterboxd and you look at the movie, there are actually like some pretty credible reviewers that are giving this movie positive ratings, like 4 and stuff like that. And so I'll just say that like I'm totally willing to accept that this is a lot better than I'm giving it credit for. It's just my own thing, and I'm willing to admit that, but because it's just not my type of movie. But but I think that there's some good things here for sure.
Some people like jam. Some people like what was it? Preservatives.
Well, it's like I mean, I know what you guys talked about before. You're not like into like the whole movies about Hollywood and stuff. And I'm kind of a sucker for them. It's sort
same
of
here, man.
Too,
if
so.
If a movie opens up and it's like they peel back, they pull back, and suddenly like the backdrop is being like like I'm in instantly. I love movies that take place in studios.
Yeah, and so and. This has the studio chase right in the beginning, you know? It's usually at the end of the movie, you know?
With the Batmobile, no less.
Has the Batmobile.
So, you know what's funny? Like
Batmobile.
There was something like so emblematic about like this movie is stuck in the 90s or should have been was made too late that it uses like the Schumacher Burton Batmobile when we're like less than 2 years away from Batman Begins.
That's a weird thing. That's not even localized to this movie. If you guys do you guys remember those OnStar commercials with Batman?
Mm-hmm.
That was made after the Schumacher movies, yet they were still using the Burton Batmobile. And I honestly might just be like a rights thing or what WB licenses to certain things.
Oh, I guess you're right. That's because the thing is we didn't even. There's been two more Batmobiles since because there was the Schumacher ones had
Schumacher had 2 different Batmobiles.
This one's just more iconic, I guess. It's like
I think that's what it is. Yeah, it's the more famous Batmobile. Nobody remembers the Schumacher Batmobiles.
I remember the Forever one, but that's because I like that movie. But
but like when you think Batmobile, that's not the first thing you think of. You're probably gonna think of Burton's Batmobile. That's the iconic one. Maybe the 60s Adam West one, but that honestly, you know, it's the Burton Batmobile. Batmobile!
I'm trying to find, like, other Dalton posters. The only one I can see real well is License to Spy was one of them.
That's pretty funny.
License to spy. Okay, here's another thing. While we're talking about gags, how did you guys think they pulled off the product placement joke with Walmart?
I thought it was like a really lame version of the Wayne's World joke. Like, that's all I was thinking is like, I hate to sound like a Daffy Duck basement dweller incel, but I was thinking that Wayne's World did this a lot better.
It's kind of like, I appreciate that Joe Dante, if he had any sort of say in this, is like, well, if we're going to grind the movie to a halt for a blatant product placement ad, let's at least make a joke out of it. And, you know, I appreciate that, you know, they're in the middle of the desert and suddenly there's a freaking Walmart. Like, the conceit of it is okay, I think, but it's kind of, I was a little iffy on that, to be honest.
If you're going to do it, you have to go, like, you have to lean into it the way, like,
yeah,
a little more.
Yeah, I appreciate
that
they did that, at least.
Yeah.
It was like the Mirage, wasn't it? Or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that!
Walmart! Is it a Mirage? Or just product placement?
Hey, who cares? With shopping convenience at such low prices. Water, Fresca, Mountain Dew, your product name here!
Is this your idea?
The audience expects it. They don't even notice this kind of thing anymore.
Nice of Walmart to provide these Walmart beverages in return for us seeing Walmart so many times.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, I would have saw this in theaters if it came out 5 years earlier, for sure. I don't know.
I'm scrolling through my notes, and one of the bits I have in my notes is, and it's a road trip movie? I'm loving this.
God, Dave's notes, like, and then, better than Citizen Kane, ?
And then underneath that note, I just have something that says, Steve Martin's walk.
Okay, like, Steve Martin. Let's
can we talk about Steve Martin?
We haven't talked about Steve Martin yet. Let's talk about him.
Well, what the fuck?
This is what's funny. Okay, so there was a conversation. This is not going to help my case at all with this, but I had...
What is your case?
I was at Mike's. Well, I was in the back of the store with Mike. And
And
we were talking. Okay, I mentioned. I was like, "Oh, they're back in the 2000 in 2020 or so." Steve Martin and Martin Short had a TV show called "Only Murders in the Building." You guys ever checked that out? It's actually pretty good. It's better than I expected. And then you just told me that you never have found Steve Martin funny. And what I said was, then what is funny? Like, that's what I said. I was like, well,
I think
what's funny, Michael? Tell me what's funny.
Yeah,
and
I think Steve Martin is just, like, classic, like, he looks good and is, like, charming and somehow had a career out of that.
Oh.
And Steve Martin appears in this movie being
I know.
And Mike just leans over comically while watching him.
I'm willing to cede. I'll be the gracious man here and say... Maybe sometimes his comedy is better than this.
This is not, I mean, it's funny because I was like mouth agape first time I watched this. Like, I can't believe it.
My and boy, then, Steve, it's, no!
It's yeah,
even it, but, for a Looney Tunes property, it's something.
It's something, and I watched it again, and I was just like... It's not as bad as I remember for some reason. I don't know.
Can you explain the
walk? I don't know
what.
I don't know
why.
What?
Can you explain his? He does this thing where he sticks his arms back like he's a plane.
He's like,
and just like wobbles.
He's like, he's basically like he's in a suit that's too small for him. You know. I don't know what they were thinking with this. I really don't. I don't know what he was thinking. It was just like, I'm gonna come up with some sort of crazy boss.
It reminds me of like a toddler trying to like. Be wacky and silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's tough. It doesn't hold my case that Steve Martin is funny, but
Mike, you just like your head like turned to like a 90-degree angle as you were leaning over to look at Ryan. You were just staring daggers into Ryan while we were watching this movie.
Like, yeah, I was Steve just Martin's like arms also. Folded.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, one of the only books I've ever finished is his memoir, Born Standing Up.
See, that's your problem, right? You haven't finished other books. Wow, this was incredible. A story with words on the page.
Yeah, and he's funny. He's a funny guy. Maybe if we ever do Muppet shows, we'll do the episode he's on, or The Jerk or something.
I would love to watch that.
I feel like The Jerk is like the standard Steve Martin litmus test, right?
Yeah. It's basically all of it is comedy routine in that movie, in a way.
Yeah.
One thing about this movie that I just can't get over is the very beginning, and it's just like the time it takes from Daffy to get fired for them to want to rehire him. It's almost like
immediate.
It's almost the next scene, and I think that's what threw me off from the very beginning. I'm like, I don't understand, because they went through this whole joke or this whole scene to fire him, and then it's like the next scene where they're like,
Wrapped up. That should have been the movie, and they just like wrapped it up.
And I just
been the halfway point in the movie when they're like, oh shit, we need Daffy back.
I'm not gonna lie, this sounds like notes from the clients you're working for. I've had this happen where you change some things. You were told to do it, and the next note is, oh, we liked it better before. And so this is true.
Down, dude. I'm sorry.
It doesn't make, like, I can't, like I said, I had the whiplash going on, and I was just confused. I couldn't stop thinking about this for like 3 minutes at least, where I was why are they? They just fired him. Like, I don't understand.
That's true.
I felt like I missed a whole
Ryan,
scene.
Ryan, you're saying that the whiplash is true to the art form, that like, that someone would be like, we got to get rid of Daffy Duck. And the next day be like, we got to get Daffy Duck back.
Yeah. Like, what did you do? Why'd you mess it up? And it's like,
why'd you get rid of Daffy Duck?
You told us to remove
him. Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, that is a real thing, I think. And
it didn't play it that way.
Yeah. They should have made a joke about it then. But
yeah.
Like, a little bit. You know, you got rid of our best duck. And those twins, they're in Gremlins 2, aren't they? Are they another? Yeah.
They reminded me of like Coen Brothers characters.
They are. They don't talk, and I like it when Bugs comes up dressed as him, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, he just sits up in the middle and he's got like his glasses on. He's like,
Bugs Bunny is the coolest guy ever made, coolest dude ever. Maybe that's what sells it for me.
Bugs Bunny's great. Bugs Bunny's very good.
I love that line from the two executives, the two Warner Brothers. It's like, I made $950 million. Like, yeah, it's not $1 billion. You know what's cooler than $950 million? $1 billion.
That's funny, too, because I feel like that's a joke at the time that would be, like, so ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
But now I feel like that's, like, real. Like,
it is real. Like, funny.
Didn't make a billion.
Like, Titanic was the first movie to crack a billion. And that was
every movie makes it. Every movie, I feel like it makes $1 billion or it makes no. Nothing makes any money anymore. But
if you want to see a movie, it costs you $30 per ticket. Inflation, man, it's wild.
Oh man, can we talk?
Well, I think if you go to Hoof's Theaters, I think you have to give a limb
or $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, the bright side is you get free concessions, though. That's kind of nice.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Huh.
But you can only go so many times, because it's like, otherwise, you know, how are you supposed to get in the theater without any limbs?
Well, I'm not using my left hand too much. Maybe I should stop.
How are
by.
Ticket sales going on over there, Nick? Because, like, from all I understand, people only go to movies if Spider-Man's in them. Like, are they pretty...
Oh, yeah. Like, we've ramped up production in-house of Spider-Man movies.
Like, we even like movies that don't have Spider-Man in them.
Spider-Jam!
Yeah, we got Spider-Jam.
People just don't see movies anymore. I mean, it's hard out there for the movies, you know. Unless Spider-Man is in them, then that's it.
Yeah, Spider-Jam 2 coming soon.
Well, did you guys have any other? I think I pretty much, like I said, most of my notes are just jokes that I wrote down. Did you guys have any?
What's another joke you haven't read?
Yeah,
you wrote down.
Which was your favorite joke?
That Lethal Weapon joke made me laugh a
lot.
That
one's pretty funny.
But honestly, like, a lot of the jokes were just sight gags that kind of made me laugh. Like I mentioned before, like when they exchanged the wills, that was funny.
That was funny.
I think you mentioned one, Ryan, where they like rolls down the window and he flies
Michael,
out.
Yeah.
Oh, I mentioned that. Yeah, when they roll down the window, he's like Bugs is making this motion like, I can't, like, you know, he's mouthing the words like, we're lost, like, where are we? And he's like, oh, well, you know, rolls the window down, he flies out. That was funny stuff. And there was another one. It's in the beginning when Daffy Duck is fired. They tell him he's fired. And then literally right after that, an assistant walks in with a box of his stuff. Like, she already knew. Like, that was funny.
He has a picture,
like,
I think,
Simpsons
with Nixon in that.
He has,
in that
a, box. He has a picture of Nixon. Like, that was funny. Those were funny moments.
That's funny. That all feels like all the stuff I laughed at, too, felt, who knows, but it felt like Joe Dante, like, humor.
Like
Gremlins 2
humor.
And
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
It gets lost. I totally agree. Like but there's, I think like it's a, it might be, I don't know if it's better than Space Jam. Space Jam just might have that nostalgia and a little bit of like magic with it, with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and
it's
stuff
also
like
more
that.
Focused.
That's probably makes it a little bit better, but yeah. this has, I think, better jokes throughout.
Yeah.
I think it does.
They're probably about the same.
It is much better than Space Jam 2, which is a really a hard movie to, like, I can't believe it exists. Like, it's...
Is the elevator pitch for that movie, like, what if we made a movie where we jam every single IP that Warner Brothers has ever had?
Yes, it's Ready Player One.
Basically, it's weird because...
It's Fortnite. That's what everything is now, is just jam IP...
Yeah.
Everything. That's like those Spider-Verse things. It's like, what's all the Spider-Man IPs we could throw in?
Now, well, we're not talking about Spider-Jam 2. You know.
Well, it's funny
starring
this,
LeBron
this
James.
Movie mentions it at one point about something with like company synergy and stuff like that. Like, we have to do that. And
they knew, man. Joe Dante knew.
It's funny because in this movie, I'll just try to get it quick, but basically the idea of Space Jam 2 is that LeBron has the most social media followers like in the world or something like that. So the idea is Warner Brothers is like, we're going to open up the Warner Brothers server and we can put you in Casablanca and we can put you in this movie and you can be in every movie. You can be in The Matrix. You can be in this. And basically, I guess the algorithm, who's played by
is a character named Algorithm?
Warhammer and Ocean's 11. Don Cheadle? Don Cheadle is Algorithm. And he basically is like, I'm going to steal LeBron and I don't even remember. But basically sends him to Looney Tunes land where they're like the rejects. Like no one wants to use him. And then it somehow comes into the...
Basketball
plot. It's his son is making a video game, and basically it's a whole thing with like I don't want to play basketball, Dad. I want to make video games. And he steals his son to like play against LeBron's team, and it's a whole thing. It's
I'm dead.
It's tough. It's very complicated. They more than this, I would say.
The Monstars want to kidnap Michael Jordan so they can make him play basketball.
Make him his slave, which they say in the movie, which is really rough.
Oh my God. When was that? That movie was made.
Yikes.
Not long
98.
Ago.
98.
94, I think, or something like that.
Space Jam? That was 98.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Space Jam 2. Oh, okay.
No. Space Jam.
Oh, you're talking about Space Jam 1.
96.
Like, DeVito's like, you'll be my slave, and I'll make you sign autographs all day long.
Yeah. Danny DeVito says that, I think. So yeah,
Lord.
It's
is
it's
it?
Rough.
Do any
it's
of the spent. Monstars smoke cigars, or any of the bad guys smoke cigars in Space Jam 2?
No, there can't be any tobacco in this movie, Mike.
No.
God forbid.
It was the only good part.
Also, they're not a sponsor, so we can't have them.
Yeah, it's tough. This is better than that.
Well, Looney Tunes back in action.
It's pretty. I agree with everything you guys are saying. It's rough, but
I
like.
Do you guys think it would have maybe done a little better if it had? This is my two cents. If it had a better poster, and if it did, if it was more simpler, and it was just called
the poster didn't matter, Dave. No one cared.
Do you think maybe if it was just called like Looney Tunes or something, would it have maybe done a little better? Because I don't think so.
I don't think it's a bad name.
It's a terrible title.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's more in line with what Ryan was saying, just that the time was wrong because there's
there's that too. Yeah.
If this came out in like 1992, it would have done a lot better, I think.
And I think it has probably something to do with a little bit of the star power. Yeah, I bet you like
Brendan Fraser was kind of
huge.
On his way out.
He's kind of, but he's not like a Michael Jordan or like, I don't know. There's something else. Like it was not like out of their element. I feel like. It didn't
well,
really feel
another
like.
Plus
problem.
They got Dharma instead of Grace. It's like.
I mean, think about it this way. This is an analogy I would use for like just movie machinery, and just Space Jam was '96, and Looney Tunes Back in Action is 2003. So if they want to capitalize on that sentiment, then they need to. You know,
like
maybe two years max, but it's kind of that situation where it always felt like DC was kind of trailing behind Marvel. It's just that same type of situation where they latch onto the sensation a little too late and they miss the boat from whatever is popular at the time. And so I think, to me, it has less to do with the title or the poster. I mean, I'm sure that marginally affects it, but
because you're thinking like that Space Jam was 96. Then you had movies like 2 years later, like Rocky and Bullwinkle, like we got to jump on this cartoon thing.
Well, Rocky and Bullwinkle is like 20 years too late.
This is a couple context things I meant to mention in the beginning, and this is kind of going in with this sort of thing. So after Disney Renaissance is happening, okay? Disney like
after
Aladdin,
Disney okay,
like Aladdin, Lion King, that's blowing up. Okay, Warner Brothers doesn't have its own movie division, like at this point.
Oh wow,
they don't have a movie division.
Warner Brothers Animation. Okay. So they don't have that. So they're basically only thing like things they had put out in like years was like after they stopped showing Looney Tunes in theaters, you know, in like the 40s and 50s and stuff like that. It was like re-releases of just, you know, compilations, basically. Warner Brothers did. So they made Warner Brothers Animation, and it was not the first movie to come out. It was in 1993. Can you guess what it is, David?
Warner Brothers, 93. Iron Giant was like 98. It couldn't have been that.
We talked a lot about it today on this episode.
93, Warner Brothers.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? No, that was 89.
DreamWorks,
right? Whatever. Or
Buena Vista or something.
It was more Disney. It was Mask of the Phantasm, 1993.
That
was the first one. And also that movie
probably the best Batman movie.
It was kind of a bomb. It was like, you
was
know, gross.
It was supposed to be a cartoon, like a direct-to-video type thing, but they're like, let's make it a movie.
So, yeah. So that basically cost like $6 million, and it made like $6 million at the box. It probably made its money with VHS
and
later.
DVD or VHS.
Anyone else agree that's the best Batman movie?
It's probably top three, maybe?
Yeah, I agree.
Top three? I don't know.
If memory serves me right, the Joker movie's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Joker.
Oh, Joker. Well, that's more like cinema.
What? <Yeah. laughs> They're both animated.
Wait, what?
There's an animated Joker movie?
Yeah, Joker. Well, it's pretty famous. It's like, I think it's Batman Beyond.
Talking about Return of the Joker.
Yeah.
Okay, we all thought you were talking about Joker.
I thought you were talking about Todd Phillips' Joker.
Just Joker movie.
I thought you were making a joke about like Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. No. The Joker movie. Well, that's okay. Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That didn't come out in theaters,
I don't know if that was
it?
In theaters, though.
Maybe
that was
you're right.
A direct-to-video thing.
Still Batman movie.
Yeah.
It's still good. I'm not, yeah.
So one of the things with Warner Brothers Animation is, okay, Disney, even though they had their dips through the years and before the Renaissance, they had an animation division that knew how to work, do animation, how that pipeline works, basically. Even when they had failures, they still had like people learning from the old masters, basically. So Warner Brothers, after the Renaissance, is like, fuck, we need to get into movies with animation. And they just were hiring people like they were like freelancers, you know, like, oh, you can do animation. Come on in here. And that's like where like Brad Bird and stuff got pulled from Disney and stuff. But so Space Jam was like the first big hit they did. Then year after Space Jam is Cats Don't Dance. Did anybody remember that one? Cats Don't Dance.
Was it a 2D animated cartoon?
Yes. It cost $32 million and it made $3 million.
That checks out. Cats don't. What the?
After that was Quest for Camelot, which wasn't as
that one.
Oh, yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah.
That one wasn't as big of a bomb, but it was.
We should
animated.
Talk about that movie someday.
That would be fun to watch with Nick on sometime.
Yeah, that one and like Flight of Dragons.
Nick, you're shivving me. I get it. We'll watch it. We get it.
I would watch it. I'm curious.
We should watch that movie sometime.
And then 1999, Iron Giant, which boom,
hell yeah,
huge bomb. It basically killed this company. The
but
animation
a huge cult following down.
It did later.
I feel like it didn't take long for that cult following to develop.
Yeah.
And then you have, after that, it gets rough. It goes Osmosis Jones is after that.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the trailer.
And then the last Warner Brothers Animation movie is Looney Tunes Back in Action. Is the last one of that division, and then it got shut down.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Until later, it got kind of reinvigorated but it's under DC, is the Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which is
a long time.
Wow. Yeah, that was about 20 years or so, almost.
Wow. Like, so Warner Brothers is like, never again. We're not doing animation ever. That's surprising.
Like animated in, because basically they just didn't have like
movies.
Like animated movies like that, really.
Warner Brothers has like a huge TV animation division. I mean, we're talking Animaniacs.
And all the straight to DVD stuff, you know? Yeah, like, this is like theatrical.
Did they do like the Justice League stuff that people loved?
It's like Warner Brothers television.
Yeah, this is like the Warner Brother film feature animation was like the company kind of thing. And Teen Titans Go to the Movies, that's pretty good. It's similar to this movie. It's really meta, you know, kind of, I don't know, I want to say Deadpool-y a little bit, but it's pretty good.
We're only making an animated movie if it's got superheroes or some basketball star. That's the only two things that sell.
But yeah, I just thought that was interesting, and then also speaking of like lasts, this movie killed it. Oh, not killed, but is Jerry Goldsmith's last score.
Oh
film
yeah,
release.
What has he done?
Oh, only Alien.
What
the
is
Star
the Alien music? I don't.
Well, that's a fair point. Star Trek, the motion picture, and by,
oh, so
by
he
awesome,
did like the.
The Next Generation.
The Next Generation theme. That's
he
huge.
Also did the first three Rambo movies. He's done a ton of stuff.
Okay.
That's just off the top of my head. I mean, his filmography is pretty extensive. And also, speaking of big names in this movie, Dean Cundey was the director of photography of this movie. Dean Cundey shot Back to the Future, a lot of John Carpenter's early movies, Halloween, The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China.
He shot Halloween? Like back in the day,
Jurassic
with like
Park, Forrest Gump. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was Dean Cundey.
The same guy who shot Halloween shot Jurassic Park and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Back to the Future, all three, yeah.
Same wow. And Looney Tunes back in action.
So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of they had
the same guy who shot Forrest Gump shot Looney Tunes back in action.
It is funny to think about it because thinking about like the way. I don't know. We've talked about some of the ingredients in this film, and they're really good, actually. But it's like they got put in a blender and just like mashed up. Like
put in a blender in the studio, just like a dump on the blender, like while
it
was
blending.
He put
more jokes in the blender. Yeah. It'll fit. Just like
it's like it's spilling out.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't gonna be like a masterpiece like originally, you know, but like it just I'm curious what he Joe Dante means by like
release the Dante cut
different beginning, middle, and end than he
I want this black and white formatted for IMAX 4 hours long.
Yeah,
I would at least hope that Dante's original version was more cohesive and more focused.
I'm sure it was,
but would you call like Gremlin, I guess Gremlins 2 is focused still.
It is. It's all like it's Die Hard with Gremlins.
But it has a lot of, you know, there's a lot of like kind of bits.
There's a lot of gags.
It's nonsense, but it's like it's contained.
Yeah,
it's like a bunch of Gremlins like jumping around in a little box. Like, but they're not just like now we're in the jungle and like
it's Gremlins in a building essentially.
Yeah,
in a skyscraper. That's what it is.
Well, to be fair,
it's a lot of crazy gags, but it's all under that one basic plot element.
Yeah, the insanity is just. Gags, not
this
plot
movie
points.
Is like I have in my notes, and it's a road movie, and it's a spy movie, and it's an alien movie, and they're going to space.
When they
they're going to France
the,
now.
The monkey ray plot, it's just so
at the very end.
It's so.
And it's an Indiana Jones
like,
movie.
Who, I don't know. It's, like, this feels like something that kids wrote. Like,
it feels like cocaine wrote this movie.
What's kind of funny though, when you were explaining it though, like it's the thing that turns people into monkeys that make the products and then they buy them eventually. It's kind of funny. That's like a funny.
It's
weird...
funny, but it's
like the animation that has of like them getting like they're making the stuff is on the conveyor belt. You know,
that would have been fine in Spy Jam. But this is Hollywood Jam. It starts out that way. Like it should have.
It's exhausting. You don't just settle in and get to enjoy the bits.
Yeah, like that art thing. You're right. And France is cool. Maybe they needed a reason to be jumping through the paintings at the Louvre or whatever.
Yeah, actually, it's funny to think.
You could have done. There's an art. They have art in Los Angeles. Like they could have done. Like now we're at the what's that place in the Guggenheim or something. There.
The Lackman.
There's a famous. Art place in LA they could have gone to and done the same bit. They didn't have to like go to France.
They need to be the Eiffel Tower, don't they? Like, I forget what happens on that whole
thing. They have buildings in L.A. They could have been on the Hollywood sign doing something.
Yeah, Goldberg's in this.
And he doesn't say anything.
Goldberg.
What if you needed a time capsule moment, like Goldberg. When does this movie take place? Goldberg's in it.
What is Goldberg?
He's a wrestler from WCW.
Oh, yeah. I don't
not
know.
Even WWF, WCW.
He was on like the cover of like 64 games and stuff, though. Right? Yeah,
what, WCW? Like, the video
like,
game?
Yeah, Goldberg and Sting were like the biggest WCW
they were big
guys
for a time.
Goldberg was basically WCW Steve Austin.
Yeah, so to say, there was like I thought he was sort of like.
Did you
watch
wrestling?
I was big into wrestling when I was a kid.
Bill, we're gonna turn you into Stone Cold.
Nick, you're destroying my. I had a long held theory that men of our generation either watched DBZ or wrestling, and that determined their future.
I'm surprised you didn't know this about me, Mike, but au contraire, I too.
But you didn't watch DBZ.
It doesn't surprise me that you watch wrestling, Dave. This checks out.
But Dave, you didn't watch DBZ. That's what Mike is saying.
Yeah, my theory is you either watch DBZ or wrestling, and that
See, Michael,
determines
now,
your
the wrestlers on TV now have like Dragon Ball like pants on. Like they're all the.
I know it's different now, but I just mean of men of a certain age.
That's why.
If you you're like a boy in the 90s, you watched one or the other. I thought Nick is the exception.
Is there somehow we could do some sort of like. Thing about wrestling. I don't know how, but like just some sort. I don't know if we watch like an old like WrestleMania or something. Like
I would love to watch an old like a '90s. Like can we watch like a '90s SmackDown. I don't know. We even know what it is.
Special interest section.
There were some
of them. Back
there were some.
Oh yeah,
the
special interest
like
section.
Mankind versus Undertaker, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I remember that.
If there's like I don't know, maybe we can like pick a few things and
we
like,
have to
know.
Release it on a Sunday.
Yeah,
that was charge pay per view prices for it.
Yeah, just something like that. I don't know. That'd be kind of fun.
That would be fun.
I mostly just had a few of the video games. Didn't really
maybe
watch
WCW because WCW was the one that was like nuts, right? That was the one that was like extreme.
No, that was ECW.
Let's do ECW.
Well,
then.
You might
I wanna...
be thinking of the WWF Attitude Era with Stone Cold and all that crazy shit.
Maybe Nick should
like
pick
that.
This.
Well, we're getting way so far away from Looney Tunes.
Yeah, thanks, Goldberg.
Sorry, I just like had some kind of future plan.
But that would be
I think that's a great idea. I would love to.
Yeah. Every episode recently has ended with, we should do this, we should do that.
Anyway, talking about anything.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. We're having the same problem that Looney Tunes Back in Action had, where we're getting too much into the jam. We're mixing the jams together.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real takeaway is that they did. If Goldberg wasn't in this, this would have been a masterpiece. But
would have been pretty good.
It's just, you know, he has such a big presence, but it's such a small voice. It's really just created this conflict.
I was one inch away from saying this was better than Seventh Seal. Until Goldberg showed up.
Do you think that any of the other ones would have worked? The Skate Jam or the Bass Jam or the Spy Jam?
Skate Jam, that would have been fun if they had
Skate
like,
Jam would have been funny, yeah.
If they would have had the same songs
what
from
was,
the video
what
game.
Was did the Jackie Chan one have a jam name?
Spy Jam.
Oh, that was Spy Jam. Okay. Honestly, out of the jams, that was around that time when Jackie Chan was blowing up. He had Rush Hour come out.
Blown up here. I think he had already blown up.
Yeah,
he had
already blown up overseas, but he was blown up here in a big way. Out of those choices, the Jeff Gordon ones at the bottom.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's pretty fucking low.
I think out of those choices, Spy Jam probably had the best chance. If you can imagine Jackie Chan doing cool martial arts stuff with the Looney Tunes, interacting like that could have been something.
I think Spy Jam would have been the best movie, but Skate Jam would have performed the best at the box office.
I bet you Skate Jam would have been a modern day Brink.
Ooh,
modern day
fans in the house.
Well, I just want to show you one thing. This was a tweet from Tony Hawk. Let me show you.
Confirming the rumors of Skate Jam?
Space Jam 2.
In 2003, I was requested to meet with Warner Brothers about doing a film technically tied... Skate Jam! They were bringing back Looney Tunes with Back in Action and then wanted to... Oh, his thing was after, I guess. I didn't realize that.
Ah.
and then Back in Action bombed in Skate Jam. Because that sounds more right, I feel like, because Tony Hawk, it would have been too early for Tony Hawk, I think. Does that make sense? Or maybe, I don't know.
No, 2003 was too late, I think, because like, at that point, you're talking about Tony Hawk 3 had already come out. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. Like,
yeah. Is it already on the way out, kind of?
Yeah, like Tony Hawk Pro Skater was 99, and then 2 was 2000, and 3 was like 2001, 2002. And then
one of them had Spider-Man.
That was
right?
Kind of the peak. Like,
yeah, well, Spider-Man was in Tony Hawk 2.
It all comes back to Spidey.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony Hawk 2 and 3 were the peak of the franchise.
When they brought Spider-Man in, that was like the peak.
Yeah, that was the peak.
He was in it, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, because he would throw his skateboard and he would shoot his web and get it back.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
That was his special.
Yeah, the first one had a cop, and they went from a cop to Spider-Man.
Officer Dick.
Yeah, Officer Dick.
Yeah, but they had the whole A-cap going back to the
They were early, yeah.
Yeah, well,
skateboarding was a crime back then, if you remember.
Yeah, they knew their stuff already.
Well, like I said before, I was being very coy with my rating, but the more we talked, Dave. No.
You were not being coy.
No, the more we talked about the movie, because initially, like, during the first half of this movie, I was ready to give this movie a 3-star masterpiece. Then the rest of the movie kicked in, and I was like, no. So I think I would give this, I'm going to be generous.
6 stars.
No, I'm going to be generous, I think, because, again, I think we've hit on a lot of points. Too much jam. I'm gonna land on a 2.5 because I didn't have a bad time watching this movie. It did get a little, like, headache-inducing towards the end. But there are so many – I think you made a good point, Ryan. This feels – even though it's not a movie you'd rate very high, it's a movie I think that anybody could come back to and get something new out of it each time because there's just so much in it.
Well, yeah, and I just think, like, as – coming more and more as I guess I'm watching more movies of like completionism kind of thing of just like I need to see all that director's movies eventually, you know, and I think it's an interesting story to like, you know, this guy started on top with Gremlins and stuff like rose up through the ranks and just eventually just hated it all, you know.
It's funny, not funny, but it's interesting to see this movie starring Brendan Fraser because I feel like both Joe Dante and Brendan Fraser are kind of like chewed up and spit out by Hollywood stories.
Brendan Fraser's kind of on his way back lately, though. He was in a Soderbergh movie this past year, or I guess it was one of the time. He came back eventually.
Cody, if fans of the show will know, will occasionally travel through the time rifts, and he's been bringing back some late 2020 era movies, and it seems like in that era, which I don't remember at all, there's a little bit of a Brendan Fraser renaissance that is occurring.
Like he's going to be in the new Darren Aronofsky movie. He's in the new Scorsese movie. Like he's kind of popping up in lots of stuff. So he's back.
I'm waiting for the time rift where we get the third Timothy Dalton movies. Maybe someday we'll get that, but I don't know.
It's probably going to be like before we get the Avatar sequels.
Yeah, we'll get the third Timothy Dalton movie somehow.
God, I can't wait for the Avatar. Holy crap. Cody, you better find that.
Well, so we already know Nick's rating. He published it already on Letterboxd.
He says it's a good one.
Okay, wait, I can't believe that. He says it's a good one.
Okay, hold on. Because I just want to say one more thing about this. Because I feel like, this is a preferential thing when it comes to how you rate a movie. But for me, I think at the end of the day, I would rather watch a 1-star movie than a 2.5-star movie. Because for me, a 2.5-star movie is very inoffensive and very safe and basically nothing. Like there is no good or bad. It's just that's just how I approach that kind of rating of a 2.5.
It's not a train wreck. It's just like, eh.
Yeah, it's just like very forgettable. Like you know,
I respect that and appreciate it, but I would say in my personal ratings, if something is so bizarre in a train wreck that it's fascinating, I will rate it higher because of that.
Well, and that's what I would say is that there are plenty of movies that are bizarre train wrecks that are interesting that might get a higher rating for me, but this is ultimately like on the negative side, but nonetheless, it still has stuff that's like worth talking about and funny to talk about and kind of rewarding to think about in some kind of artistic way. So that's my thing.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, it's just, I feel bummed about the Looney Tunes. They're barely in that Space Jam 2 either, you know? Like, they're just, they're done. It's like,
they can't
get
a break in their own movies.
They can't.
It's fine. They're a thing that existed, and they don't need to, like, continually be brought back into this, like, Frankenstein monster of whatever. Like, they were a time and place thing, and they're great, and it's all there on HBO Max.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because I think that there's, if you have the ability to, Looney Tunes to me does feel like more like an eternal thing that, like, mm-hmm. say it is close to me. It's closer to Charlie Brown and the Peanuts rather than, say, SpongeBob, so to me that has like a sort of legacy. So it's not that it can't come back. It's just that, you know, you have to kind of have the talent behind it.
Sure. Yeah. I would give this movie a 2 stars, and I think it sucks. But
the way you said that was so funny.
I think there is some, like, it's not like the worst experience I've ever had watching a movie.
Michael's now,
got I
a
would
toxic
equate this,
two, and I've got an optimistic one.
In quality wise, two. As far as like 2-star movies go, this is like an Aquaman where like most of it's a slog, but you do have an octopus playing the drums for a few seconds. I don't know. If you're out there in the waste and you're, like, stranded, which happens a lot, I know, and this is all you have, put it on instead of staring at a wall, for sure. But, yeah, this is better stuff to watch.
Can I maybe...
Watch Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit's a better one. But yeah. Can I end on one funny, okay joke in Space Jam New Legacy? Space Jam 2 New Legacy?
Take us out, Ryan.
There's a moment where they're playing the game, of course, and they're down by like a kajillion points because it's a new game that they're not really even playing basketball. They're playing some kind of super futuristic bullshit. And they're down by like a million points. And you know, like in Space Jam where they Michael Jordan and Bugs do like the whole thing to like the secret stuff and all that kind of, you know, to get them pumped up.
The water, right? They're like, oh, it's MJ's special. Water.
So this is, imagine that scene. They're in the locker room and they're like all down because they're losing. And I think it's Bugs, one of the Looney Tunes, is like, well, guess who I got to help us along or to give you guys some good words? It's Michael Jordan. And there's like a shadow coming down like the hallway. And guess who it is?
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. And that's it.
And that's
it's literally the B. Jordan.
That was
Michael
a real
B.
Toxic 2 type of joke.
Toxic 2. I'm going to use that along with Jam.
Yeah.
Too much jam made it a toxic 2.
See, there was so much jam, but not any peanut butter.
I don't mean to spoil the movie for you, but that was, you know, you saw it coming.
Too much jam made it a toxic 2. Put that on the poster.
It's like, what does that mean?
You figure it out. Well, I gotta say, I was upset that we didn't get. I was upset that we didn't get to watch Get Back. I would have much preferred to watch that very, very lovely, fun documentary about the evolution of that album and all that. But like I said, I'm not. I think I mentioned this while you're watching it. I'm not mad that we watched this movie in the end.
I'm glad. I thought maybe you were gonna hate it too.
No, I didn't.
I'm not mad we watched it either. It was fun to talk about.
Even whether you gave it a toxic 2 or a good 1, there's at least some jokes in here for everybody that it'll make somebody
laugh. I enjoyed hearing you laugh so hard and watching you shamefully have to change your pants after peeing yourself.
Yeah, that's what we'll end on. Like, it's not great, but it's you're not going to be mad that you watched it.
So hell yeah. Hell yeah.
There's that. So thanks for joining us, folks, for the first. I'm surprised this was our first episode of the new year. Looney Tunes back in action.
No, we're back.
We're back in action.
Yeah, we're back in action.
It's the new year. It's the year you know, whatever, whatever it is now. I don't know.
That's when you want to use the title Back in Action, when you're a podcast coming back for your first episode of the year. That's the only time it's acceptable to use Back in Action as a title.
Mm-hmm.
Can we all agree on that?
I agree.
Okay.
Get back, hey, JoJo.
I agree, boss.
He's giving me the toxic head shake. I don't know, Dave.
Got him.
But that's going to do it for this episode of Apocalypse Video, folks. If you guys, if anyone out there has any cartoon recommendations for us to watch, let us know. And are there any Warner Brothers film favorites, animation film favorites that you like? Is Quest for Camelot an underrated masterpiece? Let us know. I know Nick was shivving me a little bit in the shins or the ribs a little bit with his knife to maybe suggest we watch that movie. Maybe we'll watch it in the future, but no promises since we got Power Rangers on the docket. We got a Scooby-Doo. We got too much stuff on our animation docket. We'll get to Quest for Camelot maybe some other time. But that's going to do it for this episode, folks.
Let's see who could do the best pork.
Well, we don't even get it in the movie.
That's all, folks. Something like that, right?
That's all, folks.
All right, let's hear Michael's now.
Go home, folks.